All right, all right. Good morning, y'all. This is brother A-Dub down here live in the studio. Excuse me. Of course, this is WEFT 90.1 FM on your listening dial. The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers. They do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, station manager, associates, station, or Prairie Air Incorporated. So, again, as I usually say, whatever you hear come out of my mouth down here, WEFT, make sure you charge it to me and not to to everyone associated with WEFT. I always want to take an opportunity to share with everybody the invitation to come down here to WEFT and become a air shifter, to learn the programming, to volunteer your time, to make a donation of your time or an investment of your time and money into WEFT, the community radio station that brings you alternative views to the mainstream news that you hear or don't hear. You know, of course, as a delegate for Bernie Sanders, I see all the time how it almost seems like there's the race between Bernie and his opponent isn't even taking place anymore. It's all we hear is his opponent and that other dude, the crazy dude who, you know, the one with the hair thing at the top of his head and the orange skin. So, look, y'all, I want y'all to give me a call down here this morning. Wake up with me, 217-359-5483 or 217-359-6545. 217-359-5483 or 217-359-6545. Call up a family member who is outside of our listening radius and let them know that they can go to www.weft.org and they can click on listen live and they can also join the conversation from wherever they may be in the country. That's weft.org. Click on listen live. So those of you who are in Mississippi, Alabama, Chicago, Texas, all those places where my lovely family members might be, Wisconsin, why don't y'all give us a call down here, 217-359-5483 or 217-359-6545. And one of the things that's beautiful about us being able to reach out to different states and different parts of the country is because many times we think whatever is going on right here in our beautiful cities, twin cities of Champaign, Urbana-Champaign, then we don't know, and we may think that it's not happening in other places. So sometimes it's good to see the similarities in what's taking place in other cities around us. So we might be able to link up and join forces or get a little advice from one another on how to handle a situation that is going on someplace else. So I want to give you a few announcements this morning as we wake and bake together this morning. You may have your caffeine. You may have your, I don't know what it is that you use to get up in the morning. Maybe nicotine, maybe THC. I don't know. But as you wake up this morning with us, it's a beautiful day. I am feeling amazing, stupendous, superlicious, fabulous, and perfect this morning, and so are you. So after you get done listening, or while you're listening, you could be over at the farmer's market that is up and running now over on Vine Street in Urbana. I believe it's Illinois and Vine, the Lincoln Square Mall. It's always nice to get some locally grown produce or other items that you might need. I'm sure there's some kettle corn and other, some honey and barbecue sauce and all kind of different stuff out there. It's probably some good music. And of course, the Democratic booth is set up out there for all those who maybe want to go and get some information about the your local candidates here. Both I don't think we see the other team, the other folks out there. You might see some Greens out there, but you won't see the Republicans out there. I don't know why that is. But anyway, please get out there and support the farmers market, support your locally grown produce, and support the city of Urbana. Also, those of you who may be receiving some sort of SNAP benefits, you can also shop at the farmers market. So I want to make sure everybody knows that there's access to fresh, healthy, locally grown food, no matter your economic status at this particular point, or if you're just trying to get back on your feet and you're getting a little support, you can also go down there and spend your SNAP benefits down there. WIC as well. You can get items from WIC that you would be able to purchase through your WIC program also at the farmers market. So spread the word, folks, out there, the church community, the barbershops, beauty salons, wherever you may be. It could be Easter Banner. You might be getting some benefits. Well, whoever you are, wherever you may be, please go out there and support the farmers market. I want to announce to all my listeners out there who are SEIU members, Service Employees International Union, like Paul Muth. Y'all give it up for Paul. And we are meeting today at our clubhouse, at the clubhouse out the name of the clubhouse escapes me. I don't know why that is. So at the off of Perkins Road, it'll come back to me. We're meeting at the clubhouse today from 1 to 4. And also I have some other announcements for you. For June 1st is the it's a wonderful day for me and my family, because that is the birthday, the born day of Carol Ammons, your state representative of the 103rd district. And let my mother tell it, she was also born on June 1st, but she celebrates on June 2nd. So the Geminis are in full effect. And shouts out to you also, Miss Clark, Sister Clark, Vasilia, birthday will be coming up as well. And so we want to invite you all to come and celebrate with us. Carol is going to be hosting, and I'm supposed to say, State Representative Carol Ammons. Sister Carol will be having a happy birthday, community birthday celebration Wednesday, June 1st, from 5 to 7 p.m. at King Park in Urbana. So we will be celebrating Carol's birthday with some family fun. Bounce house, face painting, snow cones, and of course, voter registration. We are asking for, I can't read that over there anyway. But if you want to make some sort of contribution, you can do that to help support the event. But everyone is welcome. You don't have to give up anything, but certainly it's appreciated to help offset whatever cost it will be. But it's going to be a ton of fun. This is a family fun event. That's going to be June 1st from 5 to 7 p.m. in King Park in Urbana. So we look forward to some barbecuing and some, I don't know, it looks like maybe some hot dogs and hamburgers or something out there. I plan to bring the softball, some little 16-inch clincher type of softball, so we can have just a great time on Wednesday, June 1st from 5 to 7 p.m. out at the King Park. So make sure you mark your calendars. Bring the children out. Let's have a great time. Let's just have a wonderful community event on June 1st from 5 to 7 p.m. at King Park. Some people are also anxiously awaiting to join Carol in her celebration and her birthday in an all-white affair. Now, this is going to take place on June 4th. So you've got two events that the representative is celebrating her birthday, one with the community and one is a little more upscale, I guess, if you would call it. But it is an all white affair Saturday, June 4th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Flight Bar in Lincoln Square Mall. So that's going to be Saturday, June 4th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Flight Bar in Lincoln Square Mall. And this is an all white affair. Birthday toast at 8 p.m. Music by DJ Icy Dre, complimentary appetizers and non-alcoholic drinks. And there, if you want more information about that, you can contact, go to carolammons.com before June 3rd to see what the cost may be, the cost is and all that kind of stuff. carolammons.com before June 3rd to make sure you get your reservations made. And the cost is cheaper when you go online and register an RSVP before. So this is going to be a great event. People are already calling and reserving to come from all over the state to come and hang out with the representative and have a wonderful evening for the adults from Saturday. That's going to be Saturday, June 4th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Flight Bar in Lincoln Square Mall. So please save the date. Mark that calendar. Birthday toast at 8 p.m. This is going to be a blast as well. So we're really excited about this and hoping to see everybody come out and be supportive of your state representative and the community. We've had a couple of different events in the progressive potlucks and events at the IMC and other places to say, listen, you know, when you have someone like a Carol Ammons, maybe even one day a Aaron Ammons, who is out here fighting on the front lines for the issues that we all care about, you realize that, you know, you can't just say, hey, run, Carol, run, and then leave her out there alone, or run, Aaron, run, or whoever your candidate may be. You're going to have to support them with your investing your dollars, investing your time, your energy, because it certainly takes all of that to run a successful campaign and to stay. You don't put people in places just for them to be there. You put them there so that they can stay for a little while and get the work done that you want done as you groom someone else to replace them. So we're looking forward to seeing you all come out at those events as well. Mo Better Summer Music Camp, June 13th through the 18th. That is something that is also to be coming up here soon. So you want to mark your calendars and get your children situated. Go to the website, www.bblfineartsacademy.com. Again, that's bblfineartsacademy.com. They will have a summer music camp coming up on the 13th through the 18th. This is just an amazing program that Brother Nate Banks and Brother Robert Lewis and Mr. Bridgewater, I blink it's Cecil Bridgewater or Ron, excuse me, who are just really giving their all to the children and teaching them jazz music and other and how to play various different instruments, which means the world to them. Many of these students would not have access or have the ability through financial because of financial concerns to play in their school bands. And Nate and Mr. Bridgewater and Mr. Lewis, they do everything they can to make it possible for these students to be able to learn music and to play music, and even gives them a little better, a more of an edge when they are playing in the band. So my son Amir has been playing with them for about a year now, and they are, you know, it's just an amazing program. And Amir has grown tremendously with the trumpet and another instrument he's trying to play now. And so they have a recital today. So there's a lot going on with the BBL Fine Arts Academy. Make sure you support them and go check them out at their website, bblfineartsacademy.com. I also spoke with the president of the National Council of African American Men, Brother Byron Clark, about and it sounds to me that they're working on a fundraising event for the mother and for the family of Miss Ashley Gibson. So we want to make sure that I'll get more information out to you as soon as I possibly can. But look forward to I don't know if it's going to be dinners or an event in the park or a car wash or whatever it may be. But there's still some outstanding concerns. financial concerns around the this horrible, horrible tragedy with Ashley Gibson, but certainly left to pick up the pieces is her mother and her children and her siblings and the community. So we're hoping that you all will respond accordingly and come out and support the event for this young lady. As soon as we get the details, I will get it out to you. Hopefully some announcements can go out through other air shifters about the upcoming event. Excuse me. So also we have the Day of Gratitude coming up on May 26th. Our good brother Hakeem Salam. Assalamu alaikum, dear brother. He's been working on this Day of Gratitude consistently for probably a couple of years, maybe 2 or 3 years. And so he has been working with the cities of Urbana and Champaign. And he's also been working with State Representative Ammons on this Day of Gratitude. So there's going to be a Day of Gratitude event on May 26th. at the Urbana Civic Center from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. And he's asking me to encourage everybody to come out and participate in the Day of Gratitude. And the more and more we talk about this, the more and more it grows on me and others around us about the importance of gratitude. I remember one of our airshifters here who has moved away, but Reverend Bogan was did a sermon once about gratitude, and it just starts to wear on you after a while, and you stop to think about the importance of gratitude. So I hope you all will come out on May 26th at the Urbana Civic Center from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. So that's all I have right now for announcements. I'll come back to them at some later point during the show. But I want to hear from you. If you have some other announcements, some things that we need to know about in the community that I did not announce, I'm sure that there's something else going on. Shouts out to my son, Amir, and Carol. They are on their way to Potomac, I believe is the name of the city. Amir will be participating this morning or all day in and that's not a competition. It's a sort of fun day for beginning riders to learn how to do the various things that he dreams about, barrel racing and pole bending and all kind of different stuff they're going to be doing out in Potomac. And I want to send my appreciation out to Jason and Courtney Normile or Steiner, Dave and Deb for all their work, and Deb Schreischen and Julia and Jermaine Light, all the people who have Marty and Bill, Gail, who have participated in Amir's development, Mr. Parnell, Pamela, Sister Pamela, all of the people who have participated in making this dream of his a reality. And so he is on his way to his first semi-competition, just interactive event to take his horse Dexter out to participate for the first time. So I'm in the studio and I've got other stuff to do today, but Carol will be there taking pictures and videos and all kind of stuff, trying to keep everybody up to date. But, you know, it's another fun event for him, another experience in his life. And many of you in this community have helped make that happen to help us rear him, an amazing young man. And we send our appreciation to you. Shout out to my mother, my father, my sisters, my brother, who I know are listening in. In fact, I think somebody's getting ready to call me down here at 217-359-5483 to say I'm listening to you, A-Dub, son, brother, husband, father, something like that. 217-359-5483 or 217-359-6545. Let's see what we got here. Go ahead, caller. You are on the air.
Good morning, brother. It is your sister, Deanna. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I am blessed. How are you?
I am absolutely wonderful. I'm wonderful. And you sound like you are wonderful as well.
Absolutely.
Yes, indeed. What's going on with you?
I just wanted to let you know I am listening to you this morning. Big ups to Amir. I didn't know he was doing that this morning. That's amazing. That's awesome.
Yes, indeed. And it's I'm going to have to send you a couple of pictures or something. You can see the urban cowboy and all getting up and growing up. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So if you have something in particular that's on your heart, you know, you can share it if you like. That's up to you. And I know there's a lot of stuff that's going on in the community. I know that you have been particularly disturbed by the events that took place and the tragedy that took place with the young lady, Ashley Gibson, and we will be having some sort of event to do something to try to help raise some funds to help the family.
Absolutely. Okay. Just to touch real lightly on that, I just want to say that I don't know her mom very well, and of course we all send our condolences out to them. I do know one of the fathers of her eldest son doing an amazing job with her children and keeping her memory alive and doing events for her. So Young Blue or Derek, just want to give him a shout out this morning, a real stand-up young man out here in our community. Also, the only other thing that I'm continuously seeing from listening to the show, and seeing what you guys have done on the city council regarding the fine for mm-hmm. being caught with the cannabis situation. Mm-hmm. And the more and more that I look on our daily mugshots, or the more and more I see, I'm still troubled seeing our young African-American men being caught with perhaps less than 10 grams of this and still being incarcerated for this, or still being taken to jail for this. And that, to me, is a real issue. Mm. So I just wanted to touch on that. That's still, as I said, I still saw this as of yesterday. No other charges, no other reason to have been arrested strictly for this possession of less than 10 grams of cannabis. So me knowing how hard you worked with getting that fine board and everything that's been done, and listening to the statistics that were given maybe a couple of weeks ago on the air, I mean, it was mind-boggling. And yet it's still continuing.
Well, I'm definitely going to be looking into that. And actually, we are tracking that through the city at Urbana anyway. And I'm be talking to the council members in Champaign to see what their thought process is around that that as well. In Champaign, from what I understand, they give more tickets than arrest. But we're still looking at, we'd like to see what those are, what the arrest is for. And if what you're sharing is that you're seeing people in these daily mugshots who are arrested strictly for possession of less than 10 grams, then I don't understand why that would be the case in either city. You know, why wouldn't you just simply give the person the ticket? Because that's the spirit of the new ordinance, certainly in Urbana. So I will be following that closely, tracking it. And again, every time you see it, send it to me, screenshot it, you know, whatever, so I can get it, and I can make sure I share it with the council members and with the chief in Urbana.
Awesome.
Yes, indeed. Well, thank you for calling in. I sure appreciate it.
Okay, love you, brother.
All right, love you too. All right, you too.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. That is one of the younger sisters of the amazing Erin Ammons. That is my sister, Deanna, who is, I've always told her that whatever she sets her mind to, she can do. That's been my experience with her for all the years of my life with her. Whatever it is she sets her mind to, she can make it happen, and so can you. Go ahead, caller. You are on the air.
Good morning, the amazing Erin Ammons.
Yes, well, thank you. This must be the amazing Carol Ammons. It's something about that Ammons name. I don't know. What is it, the Ammons part? I don't know.
I think we're going to get our calls in early.
All right. So is this State Representative Carol Ammons, or is this Sister Carol? Or is it like still combined? I don't know.
This is a Sister Carol flight state call.
Mm-hmm. Cowgirl.
The first part of this call is because we just loaded Dexter for the first time. We take him to a horse game that Amir's going to compete. Well, it's not a competition, but he's going to join in today out in Potomac.
Potomac.
Mm-hmm. And Dexter walked right into the carrier, no problem whatsoever. So he was kind of excited to go, too.
All right, then. I was telling everybody before you, obviously you guys are still loading up and you didn't get a chance to hear it all, but I did send a shout out to Amir and to all of the people. I named everybody who has participated in his dream that is now slowly becoming a reality for him. Everybody from, you know, Deb, Julia, you know, Marty, Mr. Parnell, Sister Pamela, just everybody who has played a part in helping him grow into the amazing young man that he is. He'll be graduating May 20th from Urbana Middle School. Band, 3 years, with 3 years in the band, 2 years on the baseball team, honors, high honors student of the month, no issues, no real trouble, you know, a detention here and there, you know, for being late because you didn't get him to school on time or something. But other than that, a real joy. How many teachers have told us what a great young man he really is, and how much they appreciate having him in class. And so he's graduating on the 20th. We couldn't be prouder of him. And watching him out there yesterday in the corral with Dexter shining and him out there working and learning. So everybody's feeling pretty good about getting being able to participate and to help in seeing him fulfill his dreams.
You know what's interesting is one of our neighbors, the neighbor behind us, that faces Kohler, they had come over to the barn yesterday, I believe it was the day before yesterday, and watched Amir, you know, practice in the corral. And the husband, who's an older retired gentleman, he said, "I remember watching Amir in the backyard when he was a little boy training his beagle on the little obstacle course he had built." You remember that?
Yes,
so
indeed.
He was trying to train our dog, Little Man, to do obstacle courses and jumps and things. And he couldn't have been more than
seven, eight, somewhere around that. Yeah, I mean,
and mm-hmm. he just decided he was going to train this dog to do these tricks. And so now, when they came over yesterday and watched him in the corral, they said, you know, how did he learn how to get comfortable training the dog? I mean, training the horse. And I said, you know, I remember that. You know, he's always been comfortable with the little dogs, and so his love for animals, you know, makes him want to not only engage with them, but to train them and teach them. And he's done very well training this horse to work with him. And so he's gotten much better. I'm really proud of what he's done.
Yes, indeed. So, wow. So anyway, I had told everybody about that. They're going over to Potomac, and I gave a shout out to Jason and Courtney and Dave and Deb Steiner and for what they're doing with him now, you know, and teaching him the yep. barrel racing and all that stuff. So I told folks to look forward to the pictures and see you and your cow. They don't know that you got some sort of like spotted leopard print, or there's not a real leopard, everybody, right? I just make sure y'all know that. Some cowgirl boots and yes, indeed.
They pretty fly.
And Mama, you would be happy to know that she got on one of them hats you got from that place that you like to shop at all the time.
Yep, I got a hat on, and I got cowgirl boots and cowgirl pants with some fancy little
studs down the side.
Yes,
indeed.
Uh-huh. I'm ready to go.
Lord have mercy.
It looks like our trailer is stuck. They're unloading the horses.
It's stuck?
Yeah, it looks like we're stuck in the hole over there. They were trying to turn around.
Oh,
and,
no.
The trailer is stuck, so they're unloading the horses so they can get the trailer unstuck.
So Amir's not in the car with you?
No, he just got out the whole Dexter now.
Oh, okay. Did you get good pictures of him
with Dexter? I got the first picture, yes, getting him out the barn, but Courtney put him in the trailer.
Uh-huh. Okay, so I guess we can stop having this conversation on air, this, like, personal conversation.
Well, just for the record, you know, children must be encouraged to follow their dreams. They must. We have to help them. You know, people have helped us. We didn't have any knowledge, experience at all. At all about horses, how to get one, and all along the way, people said, "If he's interested, we'll help." And
you know what happened.
So.
And this really is a great segue. I spoke for a moment about the Day of Gratitude coming up on May 26th at the Urbana
yes.
Civic Center, and I mean, it's difficult for me to even try, even as an artist and as a poet, to find words to adequately describe my gratitude for everyone, and people play different parts. You know, Sister Pamela
yeah.
has never given him a lesson, but she introduced him to the person who led to him getting the horse that he now has. Right.
Yeah.
So, or,
yeah.
or people like Marty, who put him on the horse for the first time over in that same corral, you know,
yeah,
and everybody in between that, you know, it's just, the gratitude and watching him this morning, you know, with his cowboy hat on and grooming the horse and getting him ready and you know, the you know, just everything that he was doing. It was like all of that, this community helped rear this young man. It's not just
That's
us.
Correct.
And so that gratitude, that day of gratitude just grows
village, right?
on me. That's right. Exactly.
It takes a village. And this has been our village, and we're very happy to be a part of it and to have Courtney inside of our village is a great opportunity. So I'm watching them hold these horses. I'm going to
take a picture and send it to you all on Instagram. So I'll call you guys back in a little bit.
Well, wait a minute. State of Illinois representative, you ain't talking about the prison phone bill.
I know.
You coming
back? We're a little stuck. I'm going to have to unstuck this trailer. You know, I got a little more experience.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. Well, call me back.
We'll call y'all back in.
All right. I feel like I'm on the Breakfast Club or something, or the Steve Harvey Morning Show. I kind of like them live, just interactive conversations with people that, you know, just normal conversations that we normally have. So, all right, y'all. I'm still down here live, 217-359-5483 or 217-359-6545. Get up with your boy this morning. Let me know what's going on in the community that we have not announced. I appreciate the calls thus far. And I'm still looking for some more. When the representative is able to call back, we will be discussing the prison phone justice bill that she has been championing and sponsoring, I should say, in Springfield, that is going to potentially will save lower income families and particular people of color probably somewhere in the vicinity of $12 million a year. You know, we talked about my sister called in and talked about the fines being lowered at the city of Urbana because of the marijuana discrepancies and the disparities that were plaguing the African-American community and the lower income community. And that was somewhere around $8,000 was the discrepancy that we saw in the city of Urbana as far as the number of people who were getting ticketed and being arrested for marijuana. Was skewed heavily towards African Americans. And so that was $8,000. But your representative is out there in Springfield, and she may have just saved, if this passes the Senate and is signed by the governor, which it probably will be, will save the communities across the state of Illinois, lower income and African American Latino communities, $12 million in a year. You know, when you're fighting for and scraping for every penny and you're trying to do the things for your children and to make their experience and your experience a quality experience while we're here on this earth, you know, those dollars make a lot of difference in your daily lives. So, again, when you have somebody out there fighting for you like that, you have to support them in every way that you possibly can. And so the office is over there, 407 East University. You can go by and say, hey, listen, what can I do to learn more about this process in government, to learn how I can participate, how I can be a participant in this democracy that we have or this republic that we have. So she'll be calling back here in a little while. Let's see what else I got here. I did want to discuss with you all more specifically around this lowering of these marijuana fines and the paraphernalia fine that we will probably pass Monday. That the right now the focus, of course, is marijuana, is the cannabis sativa. So we want to make sure that you all are aware that there are some nuances to this that you should be very clear about. So in the city of Urbana, 30 grams or less than 30 grams is a $50 ticket. Now, if that marijuana is packaged for sale, let's say you had four individual packages that totaled less than 30 grams, that could be considered intent for sale. If you have a scale, if you have those types of things in your possession, that is a felony charge. That is not a misdemeanor ticket piece. So you need to understand that less than 30 grams is for personal use in a single bag or container that there is no indication that it is about to be used for sale, because it is still illegal to possess it and still illegal to sell it. But the ordinance allows for it to the police to give a fine. Now, in my conversations with some of the officers and with Chief Conley, the spirit of this ordinance and to relieve some of the officers of some of the mundane activities associated with this, the ticket, you should, if there's no other issues, if you're not wanted for something else, you don't have a gun in the car or some other drugs in the car, if there's no other situation going on and it is a single package of less than 30 grams of marijuana, then it should be a $50 ticket in the city of Urbana. And if we pass the paraphernalia component, if there's a, I don't know, one hitter box or a one of the little glass bowls or whatever that people use to smoke out of, and there's no marijuana in it, it is considered paraphernalia. That should be a $25 fine. Now, I want to say very clearly to you, anybody who is riding around in your vehicle smoking, I'm trying not to say something that would offend folks, but it just ain't the most intelligent thing for you to do. Okay? What you choose to do in the privacy of your own home, I'm not here to legislate that, to govern that, or to offer any of my own self-righteous advice in relationship to that. But if you think it's a good idea for you to ride around in your car, in your truck, in your van, on your motorcycle, smoking weed, then I'm just here to say to you that it is not a good idea. Don't do that. It is a DUI. Many people, the young people in the community in which I grew up in, thought that a DUI meant you had to be drunk, that you had to have been drinking too much and you get a DUI. No, driving under the influence of marijuana, cocaine, heroin, alcohol, even some of your prescription drugs, you're driving under the influence. If that prescription drug says do not operate motor vehicles or large vehicles when you take this medicine. So you need to be very aware of what a DUI actually is. And those of you who are indulging in recreational use or medicinal use, whatever it is as it relates to marijuana, and it's that very loud marijuana, you know, it just ain't an intelligent thing for your car to smell like you carry skunks around all day in the back, because that gives the officer a chance. Hey, you know, I smell something here. So now you are subject to all other different types of things. Just don't do that. OK. And so I'm not promoting drug use. I no longer use marijuana in any way, shape or form. I'm not promoting it. I'm just trying to say that it had the impact and that the community believes that we are going in a different direction. So as a local legislator, I used the platform that I have been appointed to address that concern. Go ahead, Carla. You are on the air.
Well, good morning, Brother Ada. This is Sister Carol calling this time.
Hi, Sister Carol. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
It's good that you could call in on my show. I appreciate it.
I, you know, thank you, and I'm glad I can get you. At least I know where you are. So I have called you because we need assistance. Our truck of F-250 has gotten stuck in a sinkhole at the county fairground.
Wow.
And we can't get it out. We have unloaded the three horses, and the truck is literally stuck, and we need help. So I was hoping that you could recommend somebody I can call to help them move, get this truck out of this sinkhole.
Wow. Well, for those who are listening out there, I don't know if my dad, Jerry Ammons, is somewhere available to bring his truck and maybe come and help pull you all out of that particular sinkhole.
Yeah, one of our horse neighbors tried. That didn't work out. So we need, do you think Mr. Andy's service could have a truck, I mean, a tow big enough to pull this out?
Hmm.
Something like that.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yes, that is. So, you know, I'm on the radio, so maybe if you wanted to look up the number to Andy's Towing, you might be able to get something like that done.
I thought you was going to recommend somebody. I'm going to call somebody. I guess I call you for the update so you know what's going on.
Wow, that's interesting.
We are still in Urbana, and we're going to get out of this sinkhole and try to get out to the Potomac. Well, I'll call you back again.
All right. Well, thank you, Sister Carol. Appreciate the update.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Lord have mercy. All right. So I guess did you think that you would say that you believe and not be tried? I've heard that said before. Do you think that you can say, I believe and won't be tried? So if you want something, there are going to be obstacles. There's going to be sinkholes and all kind of stuff that get in your way. But you just got to keep on going. You got to keep on plowing through. So even as I work on these issues around the drug war and trying to educate myself more and to share that information with my community at large and with my colleagues on the Urbana City Council, you know, we've all been conditioned to believe that, you know, all this stuff is terrible for us. And many of it is. I'm not advocating, again, for any sort of drug use. I don't even like to take aspirin and all that kind of different stuff because I think it's all the same, whether it's Oxycontin or morphine or, albuterol. I just think that it's all it's not what the human body was intended to consume in that fashion. So, I just think it's hypocritical for us to say, hey, you know what? Nicotine, we can sell legally across the counter, but THC, you know, that's different. Marijuana, we can't do that. We can sell alcohol. You know, we can do all these things and we can sell sugar. But, you know, that heroin or that, that marijuana, that stuff, we can't sell that legally. I just, let's be consistent. Either it's going to be legal or it's going to be illegal. Which one is it going to be? And I think the legal approach to regulate and control things allows for safer usage for those who are going to indulge and also puts the barriers for younger people who are not old enough to make that type of decision. It puts the barriers in place. If you ask any young person now, whether they own at high school, middle school, high school or in college, what's easier to get, marijuana or alcohol, which one's easier? And everyone, all the studies have shown, all the videos we've watched and all of the personal conversations I've had, they all say it's the unregulated substance that's easier to get. Heroin, ecstasy, meth, all that's easier to get. It's cheaper. The potency is higher. All of that from the unregulated substances are easier for them to get. They are more potent most of the time and they're cheaper. So you have to think about that when we're trying to actually make a rational, logical decision. This is not about spirituality. This is not about religion. I've had religious folks come to me and say, hey, it's a sin. Hey, look, I'm not saying that this is sinful or not. I'm not saying that you should do it or not. I'm saying that as a legislator, as a local legislator, my job is to represent the best interests of the people that I am representing. My job is to represent them to the best of my ability and to see things sometimes that others don't see. So I've been studying this and I see this. And I see that it's best from state to state in other countries, I should say, when things are regulated and controlled, as opposed to having a underground market, which you can go knock on a door or call some dealer and you have no idea what you're getting. You have no idea what they have cut it with, what they have sprayed it with, what they have mixed it with, how they have manufactured it. The cost is going to be lower because people are just manufacturing all kind of stuff and people want the cheapest thing that they can find. So you have the violence that's associated with it, with the underground market. We've had several shootings here in our community. I know for sure that at least half of them have been associated with drug deals or some sort of attempt to rob or steal from someone who they think has earned a bunch of money who was selling drugs on the underground market. So there's just so many drawbacks that adversely affect our community that I try to continue to educate myself and those around us as to what the appropriate next steps are for us as a society to deal with these things. So those of you who are listening, you have concerns, you have questions about this, give us a call. Give me a call, 217-359-5483 or 217-359-6545. If you are in the vicinity of the county fairgrounds and you have tools to help a young man and a dedicated couple of folks try to get to a horse event in Potomac, they are stuck. The trailer and the F-350 or F-250 cannot get out of a hole, a muddy hole over at the fairgrounds. Let's see how our community responds. If you have some way to assist, please go over to the county fairgrounds in Urbana, right on Kohler Street, and see what you can do to help these dedicated folks get on their way. They are there right now, and they need your help. So those of you who are listening, Mr. Dante Lotz or anybody else that's out there, I want to hear from y'all. Breakfast Club members, come on in and holler at your boy. I want to talk to you down here. 217-359-5483. And shout out also, but Deanna was just letting me know that my grandmother's mother, my great-grandmother, we called her Big Mama, Evelyn Waddell. Rest in heaven, rest well, rest in peace. We thank you for all of your service. She was also a June baby. So I was surrounded by these Geminis, and I'm still here. I'm still here, y'all. So y'all pray for a brother. Keep them positive meditations going for me. Let's see what else we got here. Also, I wanted to, you know, one of the things that, of course, just kind of sticking with this city council stuff for a moment. We drive up and down these roads all the time and everybody, you know, your teeth shattering and stuff like that because your cars are being broken down even faster, your brakes and your rotors and your alignments and all that kind of stuff because of the roads. And I'm just having I've been the past couple of weeks having a much more clear understanding and appreciation for the work that's done in places in the departments in both cities, the Public Works Department, the Arborist Department. I'm learning so much in this position as alderman, the things behind the scenes that many of us have no clue what it takes to make it happen. So Bill Gray and one of the other gentlemen from the Urbana Public Works gave a presentation to us last Monday about how much it actually takes to fix a road, how much money it actually costs, whether it's Lincoln Avenue or Florida and Florida Avenue or, you know, various different streets that we're looking at, Cunningham and Vine Street underneath the viaduct, those places where we know we have outstanding issues. And you're talking about, you know, $1.3 million to do a real good job, not patchwork, but to actually replace and redo a street. You're talking about on average $1.3 million. And some of them are like $3.3 million to do, you know, a mile or two, a stretch on both sides of the street. And the budget for that is like $2.2 million each year for them. So they're looking at somewhere around $40 or $50 million worth of work that needs to be done on a $2.2 million a year budget. So I'm learning, you know, more and more that, you know, nobody really wants their taxes raised unless you can really explain to them really what that's going to be for. And they say, okay, I'll bite the bullet and I'll pay a little bit more. But the motor fuel tax is what's used to pay for our roads. Motor fuel tax is what's used to pay for our roads. And so it generates about $900,000 to $1 million a year. And then the state motor fuel tax that we get gives us another $1.2 million or something like that for a combined total of about $2.2 million a year to fix all of the roads in Urbana, unless we have a combined project like the MCOR project with the University of Illinois, with the state of Illinois, or you get some sort of grant or something like that. So I just wanted to give a shout out to the Public Works Division. I walked up to some young brothers the other day. I was over at the event that we do called Speak Truth that the Breakfast Club does every Thursday from 6:30 to 7:30. It's designed for the African-American community to come out and speak to one another, to address the issues that we face, and to learn about ideology and various different things. We do a lot of public and political education. And so I saw three brothers walking up, and I just asked them, I said, you know, I introduced myself and I asked them a question. I said, do y'all know who puts the yellow stripes and the white stripes on the road? Who fixed the potholes? And, you know, one of them said, yeah, it's the public something, you know, and I explained to them it was the Public Works Division. But most of us go to the restroom or go turn on the faucet and water comes out, or you go to the restroom and flush it and things go away, but you have no idea where it goes or where it comes from. And it's the responsibility of us as citizens to understand as much as we can about the society that we live in or the city that we live in, how it actually functions, what it takes to actually make it work. When it rains and there's a pool of water in your street, you want to know why it ain't going nowhere, right? And so maybe you should take a trip out to the sanitary district and understand why you got to make sure you keep those manholes clear. So go out there on one of those days after the fall or during the fall season, and why don't you just clean up the leaves in front of your house and in front of your actual, on your street, where the water has to flow into the manhole or to the drain, and help keep it clear. And it could save us money in that regard as well. So, you know, you don't have to send a team out from the Public Works Division to clean those leaves out, where maybe you and the children could have went out and also helped clean that space out. Just understanding the daily functions. Y'all go ahead, Carla, you on the air.
Hey, Uncle Aaron, I had a question.
You had a question? I don't know who am I talking to. It sound like my Buffalo Soldier, but I don't know. Is that who I'm talking to?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
It's the nephew, London.
What's up, man?
Hey, I just had a question about where do dreads come from? Like, what culture are they a part of? Because I was talking about getting some, and I just really want to know, are dreads my culture or...
Like, right. I understand. I understand your question. So, to the best of my ability, first of all, I was told about 3 or 4 years ago that they are not dreadful. There's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing evil about them or anything. So we don't call them dreadlocks. We just call them locks. Okay. All right. So that's your first thing. And it is my understanding that whether it's ancient African culture, certainly Jamaican, then that is my first introduction. As I read history and stuff like that, it is indeed a part of your African culture, and the Jamaicans and stuff like that who wore the locks. And people wear them in different fashions. Some people would wear them just kind of just let the hair grow any old kind of way and don't comb it and it locked up. And then you see some others that are much more well kept. And they look pretty sharp and kind of like your Auntie Carol, who before she cut hers off, she's growing them back now again. But yeah, there's nothing wrong with them. It is a part of your culture. And I did put in a word for you. I told your mama to let you grow them.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, man. See you later.
All right.
So that's good to hear from my folks way down in Mississippi, down in Tupelo. Shout out to y'all down there doing a wonderful job. My sister, Unique. And now that was London. And I got Mama Rain. And now Prince is in the building. What up, Kwan? Everybody know it's 7 days of Kwanzaa. So I'm feeling pretty good. I'm loving the phone calls. Two of my sisters have called in. I know other folks out there listening. Sister Carol done called in. I want to hear from you. 217-359-5483. Or 217-359-6545. Because the buses ain't cleaned. And something, whatever, I don't know how she said it, Unique. Periodically. All right, Mama Rain. All right, y'all. So I'm going to get off of this piece about the city government and stuff like that. But I'm strongly, strongly encouraging you. strongly encouraging you to understand how things work, what these taxes are for, what purpose they're actually supposed to serve. You know, how do we pay for these particular things? And how can you, as a citizen, take the load off of some of these departments and some of the budgets of those departments by simply participating more and being more active in your own space at your house? All right, who we got this time? Go ahead, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Uncle Aaron.
Hey, Mama Rain.
You got to sit out here at a long paralytic time. The buses are nasty. The buses are not clean.
Well, thank you, Mama Rain. I sure appreciate that impersonation. You've been dancing?
What?
Have you been dancing?
What you doing, Uncle Aaron?
I'm on the radio with you. I'm having a good time. Have you been dancing?
Yeah.
You have been?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of dances do you do?
Yep.
Okay, you got to tell your mama she got to turn the radio down.
Uh-huh. I'm doing gymnastics dance.
You doing gymnastics, huh? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't wait for you to win a gold medal doing gymnastics.
You come to my house this night.
I am going to be coming to your I am going to be coming to your house soon. I'm trying to pick a day and see when we're going to come. And then you can dance and show us your gymnastics.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Give everybody a big hug and kiss for me, okay?
Okay.
All right. Love you.
Love you too.
Bye-bye. Oh, buddy just hitting the brother up with all the love and gushy stuff this morning. That's my niece, Courtland. Courtland Rain. I call her Mama Rain because she is everybody's mama. All right, y'all. So I did get a letter from a constituent who was saying, look, y'all spend an awful lot of time talking about lowering fines and all that kind of stuff. How do homeowners benefit? You know, how do the people who have been abiding by the law, how do they get a break? Right. You know, and so I think that we definitely want to spend as much time as we possibly can giving tax incentives or tax rebates and stuff to individuals who are new homeowners and who are part of developments and things like that. So, you know, we are working on those things. I wanted to make sure that you are aware of that. It is a little more difficult sometimes to find that those incentives or those pots and pools of money. So I will be looking into that. Just wanted to make sure you were aware of it. All right. So the other thing that I've been doing, and this is something that I presented on for the Speak Truth the last couple of Thursdays. I've been talking a lot about the what I call gardening as the roots and seeds of revolution. Gardening as the roots and the seeds of revolution. Now, the reason why I say that is because, you know, nowadays it's actually pretty gangster and pretty revolutionary for you to grow your own food. Because nowadays, Monsanto and all these other different companies want to tell you, don't worry about that. Leave that up to me. You know, come spend all your money with me. In fact, I don't even want you to be able to use seeds anymore. You know, them seeds that used to be in your watermelon, that used to be in your grapes. You know, I'm just going to take those out because you don't want to spend any time spitting those out or saving them and growing grapes and growing watermelon yourself. Nah, what do you need to do that for? Just let me grow it all. In fact, I'm going to make it against the law for you to even have seeds. You have to get seeds from me. Now, see, there's just a certain point when you as a human being have to say that, you know, you're not going to make me pay for air and water. Already went too far. You're going to make me pay for air, water, soil, and seeds. That is just you know, that's just capitalism on steroids. And you have to be, you have to fight back and you have to push back against that because, you know, this is your sustenance. And so to me, like I said, it's a pretty revolutionary, it's a pretty gangster idea. I'm borrowing from a guy I watched a TED talk. I forgot his name, a guy out in California who takes the medians and takes those, you know, those patches of grass, he says, and we know right here in the city of Urbana as well that maybe it probably is the same way in Champaign. You know that patch of grass that's not a part of your property, even as a homeowner, that patch of grass that's in front of your house, that's got a tree on it or just some grass that you don't own, but you got to cut. And it's a tree that's dropping limbs all in your grass, but you can't mess with it. Yeah, that patch of grass. Or the one right out there on that corner lot, where if you got a corner house that's, you know, got the fire hydrant on it and the stop sign and all that stuff like that, that patch of grass that is not your property, but you got to cut the grass. He dug them up and planted food in them and flowers and stuff in them. And the city came and said, hey, you can't do that. He said, you told me I got to maintenance it. I got to cut the grass. I want to grow food in it. You can't do that. So they tried to, they fined him the first time and he backed off. And then he went back and said, you know, I'm going to do it anyway. And if you want to find me, then find me. And so he raised a bunch of stink about it and they backed up off of him. What is the purpose of just cutting some grass if you can grow some food there? So it was a pretty revolutionary idea. And he calls himself the gangster gardener. You know, because of the different terminology, it gets the attention of certain folks. But the action itself was a radical step. And he said, you know, I'm taking back my space. Right. And you're not going to tell me that I'm responsible for it, but I can't do what I want to do with it. You know, I'm just not going to buy into that type of concept. So I've been gardening for years. I got the spirit or the bug from my aunt, Aunt Louise, and Uncle BB when I, you know, I stayed with them a lot when I was younger. And I used to be out there, you know, growing strawberries or eating strawberries and eating raspberries. And so that stuck with me. And I'm really trying to reach those who are, I'm really trying to connect this to Garden Hills, right? Hedge Road. Trying to connect this to what's missing from our spiritual diet and from our actual diet, right? And I would love to see sidewalks and gardens in Garden Hills. Sidewalks and gardens. Taking these young people the way that I was introduced to it. And the work that comes with it, the work ethic that you develop from being out there in the garden, the connection to nature that you develop, the patience that you develop, the good food and access to low cost, high quality food that you can grow. See, food, not potato chips. You know, that's not food, not gummy worms, because that's not food, right? There's a difference between food and food stuff. Okay. The little corner store that you have right around the corner from you, see, that's food stuff. That's not food. They might have a basket of bananas or a couple of apples that are full of chemicals that you could buy. Right. But typically it's Little Debbie's and a bunch of sugar filled drinks and candy and Black and Miles for you to get. Right. But there's no food there. You probably have to travel 4, 5, 6 to 10 miles sometimes, depending on where you are, to actually get to food. But you have a patch of grass with 6 to 12 hours of sunlight in your backyard and you walk past it every day. Because you have not been taught your own sustenance, because this capitalist society wants to tell you, don't grow your own food. Just go to Schnucks. Just go to County Market. Just go to Walmart. They got everything that you need. Right. But in fact, from asparagus to zucchini, you can grow it in your backyard. I know that's what I do. And so I want to encourage other people to do the same. I know we've been gardening for years. But I'm saying on a larger scale where we actually create farmers market or what about a hedge market, a Garden Hills market right on Hedge Road? Right. Instead of the other market, why don't we create a market ourselves? But it just really takes for us to understand how to do that and have the desire to do that, that sort of dogged determination to say, I'm not just going to accept this. I'm not going to accept my baby being dismembered, ran over by a lawnmower, and tried to put in a luggage and dumped into Clinton Lake and say, yeah, well, that's just the norm. Now, that is a damn lie. That is not the norm. That is not going to become the norm for any community, whether it's for our larger community and specifically not, and especially not in the black community, right? We're just not going to sit around and tolerate that. So I know what that means to me, what it has meant to me. And when I see young people, young children, when Tori Exum brought the Girl Scouts to my backyard to for me to walk them through the garden and show them different things, their eyes light up. They're tasting hot peppers and chives, and they're eating raspberries and strawberries. And there's something taking place in their young minds and in their young spirits when they have, when they feel that connection. So I'm strongly encouraging those of you who may think this is a some sort of trivial notion, those of you who are experiencing some sort of situation with your child that you think they're becoming too, whether it's too violent, some people say, or they're not listening or whatever it is, they're going down a different path. Why don't you just take them to the backyard, remove some of that grass, dig up some soil, talk to them while they're out there and plant some food. So when you need that tomato, when you need that onion, when you need that bell pepper, you know, when you need that cucumber, you can just go out there and pick it and they can bring it in the house and use it and eat it in their salad. They can grow that spinach and that lettuce in the backyard. I mean, these are real things that they start to connect with, and they start to have a connection that's contrary to this disengaged video game of them shooting and killing and maiming and beating and stealing and robbing continuously, virtually, right? See, this is a virtual reality for them that we give way too much access to. And then there's a straight up reality that actually exists right there in your front yard, your backyard, the side of your house or wherever that you could actually engage in. And it may seem like something trivial, but I wouldn't say that to you if I thought it was something simple or something worthless. I really find this to be one of the most revolutionary things that you could actually do, is to grow your own food in today's capitalist chemical filled society. Go ahead, Carla. You are on the air and I'm on my soapbox. How can I help you?
I think your soapbox is a good box to be on this morning. Growing your own food is not just, you know, good for your health, but it is statistically known to reduce crime in high crime areas. There's a project up in certainly Chicago and Detroit where, you know, they had, you know, just a lot of violence and murders going on, empty lots, abandoned properties. And one of the community organizers, they got together, and their decision, the way they decided to address the crime and the blight in the community, which is another discussion about TIF, but the blight in the community was to install community gardens throughout the area and to engage the community in that area in the garden process. And so Detroit has an excellent model of this. People don't vandalize gardens, which is, again, another
say that again.
Outcome. They don't vandalize gardens. They will vandalize an abandoned property or, you know, trash or lots and things like that. But gardens, they don't vandalize gardens, right? You don't see graffiti and, you know, waste and plastic bags all over community gardens.
You know
they
what? It just made so. Also, I would say that probably 99% of murals are not defaced either, right?
Correct.
So
yes,
it's
true.
Something about murals,
yeah.
Murals and gardens. That's a very interesting component. And I think it's something that people recognize about beauty and about the spirit in those two things that you just described, and the hostility that people feel towards vacant lots or or run down stuff, things that are not...
Right, abandoned properties,
yeah.
Neglected properties. The interesting thing about Garden Hills, where a lot of the shootings have taken place, is I've not seen a neighborhood association to really emerge out of the area that said, we are going to do something different. The police departments do the best they can, but they are usually coming after the fact, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gardening and community-based projects happen before, right, and set a certain climate in communities. I think Garden Hills certainly could benefit from your and other people who are interested in gardening setting up. Like you said, garden and hedge of court gardening or whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it makes sense as a response to the level of violence that's taking place there. But there also needs to be an economic response. Employment has to take place in places where there's high unemployment, especially among youth. So you have to respond, and again, you want to use your police resources carefully, but you do need to respond, but your response is not always going to have to be policing and public safety officials.
Mm-hmm.
It may need to be, again, a community response, an employment response, that is different from what we may be funding. You know, maybe we're funding just certain things, but we need to decide to fund things that make a real difference. And we've seen that to happen in other communities. So I just wanted to call and share that.
Well, I think that's a pretty amazing piece. I had heard, of course, about murals never being very rarely, if ever, being vandalized. But when I thought about the community gardens, that was something different. So tell me, what's the outcome over there in the fairgrounds? Any new?
Yeah, so we just got out, and we're now at the gas station. You need to get some diesel, and we headed on to the horse game.
So Who came through to help y'all out? What happened there?
You know what? I don't know how they got out. They got out. We went to find a flyer for them. Do you know who helped them out the mark? One of the other people in the bar came, and they were able to get them adjusted enough to get out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, look, I'm going to play a song here, take a quick break, and then I will be back.
Thank you, sir. Bye.
Thank you. So give me one second here. I'm going to cue up a song. Then I'm going to take a quick break, and I will be back with you all in a few seconds. One of my favorite artists is a young lady by the name of Indy Irie. So check her out. All right, what am I doing wrong here? That's what I'm doing wrong.
Pack my bags and take that journey down the road. 'Cause over the mountain I see the bright sunshine, and I want to live inside the glow. Between Harry and nowhere, I wanna go to a place where time has no consequence, and oh yeah, the sky opens to my prayers. I wanna go to beautiful, 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 beautiful. that I don't care. But right now these walls are closing in on me. I love you more than I love life itself. But I need to find a place where I can breathe.
Go ahead, Carla, you on the air.
This is Lucky Lefty reporting live from left field, sir.
Lucky Lefty reporting live from left field. What's up, Lucky Lefty?
Hey, I wondered if you knew anything about this Department of Justice coming into town to talk to Unit 4 school parents about the disparity in discipline at the Unit 4 school district.
I was somewhat aware of a investigation and spokes raising an issue there, but, you know, tell me more.
Well, I don't really know. My understanding, and this is just off the top of my head, and maybe somebody can call in to verify, is that tomorrow, Monday night from 6 to 8 at Reverend Underwood's church, the Department of Justice will be accepting people's testimony with regards to the Unit 4 school discipline. And that's Monday night, 6 o'clock. I'm not sure about that.
Well, I appreciate you sharing it because I'm not aware of that. I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah, it's kind of a miraculous circumstance. I mean, I believe Terry Townsend filed a complaint in 2014, and they're just now getting around to it, to talk about the Unit 4 school discipline, which, you know, is heavily skewed toward African-Americans. And there's concerns that African-American students are being targeted in the school district for extra punishment, and it's getting in the way of academic achievement. So, and it's supposed to be Monday night. So if someone could call in and just verify that time and date, that'd be great.
So hopefully there's someone out there who has direct access or a phone number or something for Dr. Underwood. And Dr. Underwood, right, if you're listening, they typically listen. Then maybe you could call in and let us know what's going on, give us an update, and make sure we're very clear about that. I'll give Terry a call this afternoon, this evening, when I'm done running around, and I'll see what I can find out.
That'd be great.
You know, it's not just at the school district, right? We're also talking about a lot of stuff that's going on at the University of Illinois. So I met with, I have spoken directly with the individual who had the noose thrown on the table in front of him, and what that impact has had on him. And we sort of dug a little bit deeper just yesterday in a conversation with another individual who has a current lawsuit pending against the university. Well, not a lawsuit, but it's about, it's, he has the intent to sue, and he has that right to sue letter that comes from the EEOC or somebody. I can't remember the department that they get it from, but he has the right to sue letter, and talking about his experience. And I know personally some of the individuals who are in the FNS department who were going through this process. Some of them have settled with the university, and some of them are still fighting the facilities and service department at the university. And in a conversation I had yesterday, somebody pointed out to me, and this was a white gentleman, he pointed this out to me, and I raised the issue of his ethnicity, because I think that it's fair to say that as a black man, I get a clearer understanding of how black people see white people, because we talk more openly when you ain't around. Okay. And so I think it's the same way for white folks. All right. So for a white guy to tell me, hey, listen, for Chancellor Wise, the interim chancellor, to say that this is a F and S problem, is disingenuous, and it's passing the buck. If it's a F and S problem, it's a University of Illinois problem. And this, he said, this is why. Because you try to make it seem like it's just these little people or these backwoods or these, I don't know even how you describe them, but it's just that group of people over in FNS department. There's so many departments, so many colleges, so many different entities at the University of Illinois, that it's not the individuals who are right there on the ground floor with the working everyday activities who are going to be held accountable solely for this environment, right? You have to hold your managers, your middle managers, and your supervisors all the way up to your provost, your chancellor, and president accountable for the environment and the culture at the University of Illinois, right? Why hasn't Barbara Wilson or President Colleen came out to that facilities and service department and apologized personally to these individuals who have been wronged or who have been skipped over, who have had to endure a hostile environment? What would make this guy think that it was all right for him after 2 months on the job at the university? What would make him think that it was going to be okay, or that it was okay for him to walk in that room twirling a noose around and then throw it down on the table where this brother sits at? What would make him think that was okay?
Well, that's my question to you, Aaron. You've worked there for a long time at the University of Illinois, and a lot of us didn't know that the atmosphere, the environment is hostile toward African Americans. Is that true?
I think I think that an institution the size of the University of Illinois, right, has to go through a phase of ridding itself of racist ideology, environment, curriculum, all those different things. When I first started working there, it was mind-boggling to me, one, that that we had a Native American as a symbol, as a mascot, an actual human group of people being used as a mascot, and to have that head, whether it's a Black Hawk or a Redskin or a chief, right, as a trophy. So to me, through my eyes, I saw that as a symbol of conquering this particular group of people, that I have taken them and dwindled them down to a mascot. Okay. Now, I would walk through the philosophy department and I would see that they would say that Aristotle, Socrates, Nietzsche, and all these folks discovered philosophy. Although in the books, they tell you, no, we studied philosophy at the feet of the Egyptians. So see, some people don't, they think racism is, I called you an N-word, right?
Right.
Or I just, no, sometimes it's built into American, the fabric of American society, what many people have been describing as these microaggressions and stuff like that. It is everywhere you go. So there is no institution in America that's not racist. So the university doesn't escape that. The police department doesn't escape that. The city of Urbana doesn't escape that. Right. Nor is there an institution in America that's not sexist. This is the very fabric of what this country was built on. So you have to recognize that there's going to be a transition period. But that's all the more reason why every single person who's getting brought in, especially in positions of authority, must have a very clear understanding and a very clear objective of the policies of this university that are going to be to address that racism and that sexism. Right. And so when you see it, we want you to educate or to address it more appropriately. It was right in this situation for them to fire this dude, right? Because I just thought that was so egregious that in 2016, I just can't see why you would walk in a room and do something like that. I just thought it was hateful, right, personally. Now, when I want to describe to you and to the listeners something that took place about that situation in my group. My foreman came to tell the group that I work with, or that's in my zone, about this situation. And she's a white female. And she came to describe what took place and what the result was, right? And she said what happened about the noose and that the guy was fired. And there's three other white men who are standing next to her, and they're shaking their head like, that's terrible that this would happen, right? Not that he was fired, but that somebody would do that. One of the guys standing next to me is another white gentleman. He says, so what? We can't tie knots and ropes at the university anymore?
Oh, wow.
Now, I waited. I had to do a double take. And then he went on to say, well, was it 2 notches or 13 notches?
Wow.
Now, what I had to really endure and try to understand what just took place. Because sometimes people say things to even to me that I just can't even respond at that moment because I don't know what the hell I'm going to say or do. Right. You know. And so I said, I just looked at him right at that time and I processed it over the weekend. And I talked to several different people about it and got different responses from people. And I decided to go to him personally and say to him, I want you to know that I was offended by your comment, right? And what you said the other day. And he looked at me all funny, like, what you talking about? And I said, I'm talking about when we were being told about this noose situation. I thought it was incredibly insensitive of you to respond the way you did. He said, well, I was just trying to understand, was it actually just a knot tied in a rope that somebody blew out of proportion, or was it an actual noose? Because the actual noose has 13 notches.
Oh, brother.
I said, okay. I really want him to understand. I said, I want you to understand that for me as an African-American, I thought your first response from a very caring and sensitive to the and mindful and empathetic to the sensitivities of this, you would have said something more along the lines of, that's outrageous. That's ridiculous that somebody would do that nowadays. That is unbelievable. He should have been fired if he did something like that. But can I ask a question? You know, are we sure it was an actual noose? We're not talking about somebody just tied a knot in something and threw it on a table. Are we sure it was an actual noose? You know, I would have understood that path if a woman walked into our space and said somebody tried to rape me or to harm me or something like that. My first thought is to be empathetic and to be understanding and to try to see what could be done to address what was being said. It's not to say, well, what you got on? What did you have on? What did you do?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's just
right. Yeah.
So I realized that, but this guy's not a policymaker. Now, the foreman, though, didn't say anything. She didn't even recognize it. Either she didn't want to speak to it or she didn't realize what he said was wrong. His response. One of the two. So now I have to go and talk to her about it. But see, this is what I mean about supporting an environment where racism or racial prejudice or implicit bias, right, which is the new term that everybody's more comfortable with, which I'm okay with, right? I'm implicitly biased against, thinking that men were superior to women because I grew up in this patriarchal society, right?
And we all got something in the mirror that we got to look at.
There you go. So I ain't hostile. It hurt my feelings. It ticked me off when he said it. But I realized that this is just an educational moment. This first time. Now, if it happens again and again, that's different. But I'm right. I'm watching that he said it. She didn't respond to it. So see how that environment just stays in place. Right.
Yeah. Yep.
So now at the FNS department, you done got me going now. I got to just say this last part in the FNS department over there on Oak Street. You can still walk through there and there are people who have chief symbols on their office doors. Right. Just displaying them openly as on their door, like you ain't making me take this down.
Yeah.
So this is the environment, yeah. You know, this is the culture.
Yeah. So the environment can be pretty hostile over there. That's amazing. Well, you got to keep working at it. And I know you and Carol are reaching out and doing what you can, but we got a long way to go. It sounds like.
Well, it's a work in progress, and I think that good people like Lucky Lefty need to continue doing what they do to continue to educate yourself and other people. And as the as a lucky left-handed guy, you you have done quite a bit of work, and I really appreciate.
Okay, well, it's good to good to talk to you, and I'll keep listening.
All right, man, I'll talk to you soon. All right, that was Lucky Lefty reporting live from left field. Yes, indeed. All right, y'all, we got about 30 minutes left. 217-359-6545 is the second number. If you cannot get through on the 217-359-5483 number. So that's 217-359-5483 or 217-359-6545. Love to hear from you. I always forget to do this. So I'll be making the announcements again, but first I want to do our underwriting after this call. Go ahead, caller, you are on the air.
Good morning, Brother Aaron.
Good morning.
Eldris Melinda Carr.
Hello, Eldris Carr. How are you?
I wasn't listening, but someone had called me and said that there was something related to the Officer of Civil Rights announcement.
Yes.
And so they will be here on Monday, May 16th from 6 to 8 p.m. at New Free Will Baptist Church, which is 601 East Grove Street in Champaign.
The office
601.
Okay, 601 yes. East Grove Street in Champaign. Or and yeah, and you said this is the office of
the Federal Office of Civil Rights.
The Federal Office of Civil Rights.
Legal representatives will be here.
Legal representatives from the Office of Federal Civil Rights will be at 601 East Grove Street Monday, the 16th, this Monday, from 6 to 8 p.m.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I'm glad somebody called you and told you that you should be listening to 90.1 FM, Higher Ground, 90.1 FM on your listening dial every Saturday from 8 to 10 for sure, if not all day long.
I hate you, Brother Aaron.
Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. There you have it, Lucky Lefty. Appreciate the call. And that's the way community radio works. You call me. I'm live on the air. You didn't have to buy commercials or nothing like that. Although I would absolutely love for you to come down and volunteer at WEFT. Come and invest your time, invest your knowledge, invest your dollars into your community radio station, your alternative community radio station. Underwriting, which I was supposed to read at 8:30, so I'm going to read it at 9:30. Kevin Elliott Counseling. Elliott Counseling Group has 35 counselors providing mental health services for individuals, families, couples, children, and groups. Evening and weekend appointments are often available immediately. Virtually all insurance, including state employee insurance, is accepted. There is also a self-pay sliding scale. You can contact Kevin Elliott or his staff at ElliottCounselingGroup.com. That is ELLIOTT CounselingGroup.com, or you can give them a call at 217-398-9066. Again, that's 217-398-9066. I'm sure they would love to hear from you. And, you know, as I think about the grief and I think about the pain, the trauma that the Gibson family is experiencing, I also think about the ripple effect of the families of these six young men who are accused of this crime, the siblings, this boulder that was dropped in the river of Garden Hills, the ripple effects go in many directions. And so when I think about something like Kevin Elliott Counseling Group, especially from my experience, and I cannot say that this is the experience for all African Americans, but counseling, going to get help, so to speak, was always considered something that white folks did or some other community did. But we didn't go sit on people's couches and get counseling and all. You know, it was really painted as this very weak or off limits type of thing or outside of our culture. Right. Now, I think we had some other things built into the culture, whether it was the church or whatever, that tried to address those particular concerns. I do see the value in counseling. And I have talked to other African Americans now as I've gotten older who have talked to me very candidly about abuse issues and about sexual abuse issues, things like that, that they endured as young children. And they have sought counseling and are still going through counseling about some of these things. And it doesn't even have to be about abuse. It could be about feeling abandoned, right? There's lots of different folks now in the black community who have seen the benefits of being able to address that, that pain and that hurt that exists. I found my outlet, and I think many other people find it through art. And so my spoken word and my poetry and stuff like that was very much the therapy that I sought as I went through substance abuse and feelings of various different emotional ranges. And so I just wanted to say how much I appreciate Kevin Elliott Counseling for underwriting and for everything that they do, and why something like the work that they do is so important to all of us. So thanks again to Kevin Elliott Counseling. Make sure you reach out to them. 217-398-9066. And whatever your situation is, it sounds like they will do whatever they can to help you. So, all right, y'all, it's been going real well down here. You all have helped me through the morning, and there's still a few minutes left. There's a lot of different issues that are taking place here. We've had several different conversations I've been privy to, and I've read some of the comments and stuff around the horrific incident in Garden Hills. If you have a thought, a comment, a question, an idea about that, I want to hear from you this morning. Oh, we've got about 20 minutes left. Give me a call at 217-359-6545 or 217-359-5483. Whatever the situation is that you got going on, I'm sure there's something happening with the jail committee and the county board. And I do know that First Followers, the amazing group of men, James Kilgore, and women, Tamika Davis, Marlon Mitchell, Kevin Williams, we call him Snow, have been doing an amazing job over at Bethel AME. And they're going to be taking a trip. They're going to be taking young people to go visit their mothers in Dwight coming up. I think it's on June 4th. I believe it's June 4th. It's Saturday, June 4th. They're going to be taking people to go and visit their loved ones in Dwight. And so that's an amazing thing that's going on in your community. It's a reentry program that I think needs to get some funding, needs to get some other help, because these are the people who directly understand. They have been incarcerated, 90% of them who are working for First Followers. They know what's going on and how to address the community that is reentering our society and our community. And yet all too often I have experienced that the people who understand directly what's happening don't get the support, the financial support. It's usually those who understand it from a different perspective, from a book perspective, or from an administrative perspective. So anyway, just want to shout out to First Followers. They're doing amazing work over there. You can look forward to soon an expungement clinic, an all day type of thing coming up in partnership with the Circuit Clerk's Office, with, I believe, First Followers, I will be involved as well. And I think State Representative Carol Ammons will be involved. Her office will be involved also. So there's some good work that's being done around the community. Let's see who we got here. Go ahead, caller. You are on the air.
Oh, good morning, Aaron. This is Jim Iman in Urbana.
Hey, Jim.
Got a couple of things. First of all, about 4 weeks ago in Dallas, the New Black Panther Party and the Huey P. Newton Gun Club were protecting a black Muslim church from a biker gang or a skinhead Aryan Nation types. The police showed up. This is quite a large thing. The police showed up. The biker gangs took off, and nobody got arrested. I sort of like the idea of a Huey P. Newton gun club, though. I believe in self-defense, as Brother Malcolm said, by any means necessary. That's one thing. And the question of racism, you brought up ethnicity today. I hate the word racism because there is only one race, the human race, Homo sapiens sapiens. What it is I would call it ethnophobia. White people are afraid of black people because we know what we have done to them since slavery. And they think they're going to take retribution out on white people. This is what I would, call it is ethnophobia. I don't ordinarily quote the Bible, but from the book of Revelation, behold a pale horse, for on it rides fear, and behind it hatred and death. So there's that. And I just wonder if you had any comments on that. Oh, by the way, I want to ask you if we've been able to get through the city council here a motion to be welcoming to refugees, Syrian refugees.
You know, I thought we did in Urbana, but I can double check on the resolution. But I thought the mayor presented something and we voted on that. But I'll have to look back at that and see for sure.
Okay, well, that's cool.
But I'll double check on you on that and see. I am aware of the, I wouldn't call it a standoff, but they was skinhead gang or the biker gang or whoever thought that they go around trying to intimidate people in different mosques and stuff like that. Yeah. And they were met with a group of folks who, said, whatever you bring, we bring it too, and let's see how it goes down. And, they left. So I am familiar with that. I do believe that self-defense is common sense, right? You know, so. I agree that people should be able to defend themselves as well. Everything in creation has some sort of mechanism to defend itself, you know. So I agree with that. And then I really like this term, you know, that you're using, ethnophobia.
Yeah.
I like the sound of it. I'd have to think about it a little bit more.
Okay.
But I do think that it makes sense to think that, you know, if I have done something so irreprehensible to someone or to a group of people that, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm concerned that they would do the same. I'm reminded of my own personal experience, but I'm reminded of a quote that is attributed to, it was in the scene of the movie Mandela, where when this conversation with de Klerk and some of the other folks in South Africa, when they were talking about this, and Mandela said, you know, I understand that you may be concerned that we want to do to you what you have done to us, but we have no desire to create the hell for ourselves that you have created for yourself.
That's right. Exactly what he said. Thank you for the quote.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, no, I thought it was very powerful, and it's, it is, you know, you do feel that way. Sometimes you walk around thinking, you know, if I had the capacity to do this to somebody else, then they must have the capacity to do that to me. And it's not necessarily true, you know. So And that's not that hasn't been my experience here. I've talked to other folks within the my ethnic group or other ethnic groups and say, look, you know, if any group of people were quote unquote justified in being hate-filled, it would be the African-American group. But that's just not my experience, you know, that there's, you know, violence that's just, you know, black folks just run around killing white people and stuff. That's not my experience here in America in 45 years. So thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. And take care, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Take care now. All right, y'all. So I wanted to just take the last few minutes to wrap up some announcements, some things that are going to be a ton of fun coming up soon. Excuse me. Happy birthday, Carol. Community birthday celebration, Wednesday, June 1st, which is going to be a community celebration from 5 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, June 1st, from 5 to 7 p.m. at King Park. We will be celebrating Carol's birthday with some family fun. There'll be food, a bounce house, face painting, snow cones, and of course, voter registration. There are some contributions that you can make to help offset stuff and to support Carol. But the focus is for the community to come out and enjoy, bring the children. Let's just have a good time and celebrate the community and celebrate the birthday with the of our state representative with the community. So I'm looking forward to some snow cones, some ice cream, and I might even do a backflip or two in the bounce house. I don't know, Paul. I don't know if I can still pull that off these days. So that's coming up on June 1st.
You got good insurance.
And so then also we join Carol in celebrating her birthday with a white attire affair. This is going to be a more adult driven thing. That's going to be Saturday, June 4th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Flight Bar in Lincoln Square Mall. And I'm sure the mayor is super excited that we've got something going on in Urbana because Urbana came first. All right. So birthday toast at 8 p.m. Music by DJ Icy Dre. Complimentary appetizers and non-alcoholic drinks. So if you want more information about ticket prices and all that kind of stuff and how you can be involved, go to carolammons.com before June 3rd. And also we'll be celebrating around that time. We'll be celebrating my mother's birthday and Miss Clark's birthday and my grandmother, my great grandmother's birthday. So I'm surrounded by these Geminis, Paul. Yes, indeed. So Paul Muth has entered the building, which means stuff just got real. What's going on, Paul?
Hey, a little oversold there. Trying to make it real. Always trying to make it real.
So well, I've got about 8 or 9 minutes. And
I sent you a text about...
oh, you did?
Yeah, about is there a possible date in the Senate for the vote on the phone justice?
You know, I was waiting on Representative Ammons to call me back to talk about that. But
she got stuck, huh?
She kicked me to the curb, y'all.
I wonder if the horse could pull the trailer out.
You know, why didn't they just link the horses up and and say, yeah, right? You know, yeah. Oh my God, I got a ton of text messages. Oh,
oh my, you missed all that. Well, we got the rest of the show planned out then. I also texted Imani Bazella to see whether we get the date on that racial disparity that Lefty was talking about.
We did.
Oh, you got that?
Melinda Carr called in. Okay. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Thank you, sir. I apologize. We did get all wrapped up in the horse the horse event this morning.
Uh-huh.
I had my moment of Little House on the Prairie. We can do it, Mom. We can do it. Get the horse out of the mud. But I did want to give you a call back on the prison phone justice bill. At this point, we're up to, I believe, about 20 sponsors in the Senate. It goes to committee next week. We have the votes already lined up in committee for this to pass, and we're just working on a couple of Republican senators to support the effort. Right now, it looks like we should be moving that bill out within the next week, if not the week after that. So it's moving to committee next week, and then I don't know how long it has to
hold in the Senate before they call it on the floor, but it would be within the next couple of days or so.
So hold on, just a second, Representative Ammons. The phone number to call in, unique, is 217-359-6545. That's the line that's open right now, 217-359-6545. I was trying to read my text messages. So you saying that the bill passed, and tell us what the phone justice bill is. How is it going to benefit people?
So the we call it the Family Connections Bill.
The Family Connections Bill.
Okay. Yeah, Family Connections Bill. The purpose of the bill is to get rid of the commission kickback structure that the state of Illinois received on the contract for prisoner phone calls. So the families actually pay for the calls. The prisoners actually don't pay for the call. The family has to end up paying three times market rate for the phone, for a basic phone call. And so most of the money actually comes back to the state of Illinois in the form of a commission. But that's what keeps the cost of the phone higher than it really needs to be. So what we're trying to do is my bill will reduce the phone call to $1.50 for a 30-minute phone call, which is a little bit more reasonable, still not, I think, market rate. What we would normally do on a home phone line, but it would still cover the cost of operations in the state. And so we've passed it out of the House, and it's in the Senate now. And our sponsor in the Senate is Senator Collins, who's had a lot of experience around this issue in the past. And so she will be the lead in the Senate to get this bill moved out of committee on next week. I may actually testify in the Senate next week, along with our local Brian Doliner and or Danielle Chenoweth. I'm not sure if Danielle is going to be in town, but she's been a remarkable lead in helping to coordinate the prison phone justice bill in Illinois.
All right. Well, sounds like you've been doing.
Let me say that this bill is going to save family members between $12 and $14 million, and that's not a small drop in the bucket annually. $12 to $14 million will be saved as a result of the passage of this bill and ultimate signing by the governor. We are doing all the advocacy possible to get the governor to ultimately sign this bill. But if he doesn't, we are going to continue to work with our other legislators to bring it back out in veto session in September so people can stay tuned and watch what happens with this really a equity and justice bill. But it is a great consumer bill, and it's certainly the protection of families and children.
Well, we want to say thank you for that. $12 million is certainly no drop. $12 to $14 million for families who are, you know, struggling to make ends meet and to stay in touch with their loved ones is incredible. Thank you for that work. And again, this is the gratitude and what we try to show as a connection. I think back to, I can't help but to think back to Sandra Otten and the whole piece that we did with CU Citizens for Peace and Justice at the county level when we first got wind of that. Now, this is the ideal thing that we talk about around participatory democracy. I didn't know anything about this. Sandra Otten.
I didn't either.
Years ago,
when it came to us, Sandra, as a member of our group, said, hey, look, you guys, do you know about this? Sometimes, and it probably stems from a personal situation. And she jumped on it. We all jumped on it. And now look where it has grown to. You know what I mean? So I always want to get across to the people who are listening that your experience, your energy and your expertise is missing if you haven't brought it to the table, because it's something that we could look at, just like what you've been saying about these taxes and you had called in about it.
Tax swap.
And the tax swap, and Carol's been looking into it now. She's
good.
I'm working on the tax
swap. They missed the deadline.
And I'm hoping that Paul will help us get together some experts so that we can have, I'm going to ask the chair of revenue to host it as part of a hearing in the revenue committee. I think everything should be on the table, and so if we can introduce it as an option, we can do that as a hearing in the revenue committee, and I'll let you know how that goes as I try to put the experts together on it.
Excellent.
All right. Okay, so I've only got a couple of minutes. Sister Carol,
Thank
did you
sir.
All arrive safely?
All righty.
Did you all arrive safely yet?
Oh, arrive. I thought you said to arrive safely. No, we're not there yet.
All right.
We're on our way, but I can tell you I'm staying because I would not be able to find these roads to get back to Urbana.
Okay. You know, all right. Y'all be safe and love y'all.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
All right. So we have 1 minute left, and I'm going to ride out on a little music from NDIRE. I want to thank all of you all for listening, and I hope that you have a wonderful, amazing, beautiful, beautiful day. As John Lee Johnson would say, stay out of trouble. But as Paul Muse likes to say, get in the right kind of trouble. Peace and much love to you.
Okay, beautiful, but beautiful. Well, we're going to get serious here with Glenn Ford, and he's got a great commentary about the situation in Brazil. If you want to look for